Joining me today is a very special guest. Her name is Linda Nordelli. She's a spiritual counselor, healer, artist, and author of Mystical Intimacy. And she's also, and I'm also, in the book, Mission Accepted. And this is a 262 by Deb Drummond. And I want to welcome Linda to the show. And she's going to talk about her successful career and how channeling your creativity could be many benefits, becoming a improved musician, artist, writer, and so forth. So welcome to the show, Linda.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here. I've loved our interactions pre-session and love meeting you at the 262 book launch. We met there. So, and here we are, meeting again.
And I'm so excited to have you on the program. I would like to ask you, for the viewers and listeners, which came first? Was it your healing? Was it your art? You're an artist, a beautiful artist, because I have to show the viewers, I almost forgot, look at this. This is beautiful. So again, which came first? Being an artist, a healer, an author.
What came first is being an artist. I got my first canvas when I was 15. Mm. With my babysitting money, I bought a used paint set from a friend who'd had it given to her for, as a gift, and it was stored in her closet. She says, I have a paint set. Mm-hmm. And my dad let me paint everything. I painted tin cans, I painted plates, I painted the cupboard doors, I painted the walls.
Yeah, so did you have artists in the family, Linda?
I had creativity. Mm. I'm not going to say visual art. My father was a beautiful singer-songwriter. I had healing and spirituality in my family. So my mother passed away when I was young. However, my father had told me that she was a healer. And she would just touch people. She put her hands on people and they would calm down. And he himself was really intuitive. He was a martial artist and he would just sense things. And some of his students told me stories of just knowing things about them. So I think that runs in the family.
Wow. I mean, it's a gift. Would you say it's a gift being a healer and knowing your intuition? Like, tell us more, please.
I think it's a gift when it's used purposefully, when it's trained and channeled. Otherwise, it can be a burden. And I see that with my mother. She turned to alcohol and drugs because I think that seeing, sensing energy, especially during her time, was just too much. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't understood. And it certainly felt that way for me at a younger stage in my life. But then I was drawn to a therapist. I saw my first therapist when I was 25, and she recognized my intuition, recognized my gift, which helped me recognize it. And I made a friend when I was 21 that's still in my life, who I refer to as my soul companion. He saw me. So I think what's helpful is to be seen and recognized, because without that, it's hard to value our gift. It can feel really unruly. It's like imagine a geographer that finds crystals, excuse me, but that beautiful gem, that gorgeous stone, I mean, it's encased in rock. It needs to be chipped out to get to the gem. And I think when we have these kinds of sensitive gifts, sensitive mm-hmm. to the subtle energy, we need to do some of our own revealing of that.
I mean, that's wonderful. I mean, you are a spiritual counselor, author, artist, writer, and how does each expertise cross over in other areas in your life, Linda?
Well, as an artist, when I was in college studying art, mm-hmm. I started noticing something. I would notice that I wasn't alone. I wasn't alone in the studio. I felt presences. And my work started having this quality of energy. I'm like, I think I'm doing energy paintings. And again, that soul companion would see through my experience and help me recognize this gift that was unfolding that wasn't just academic art or fine art based on academia. And that, so my first experiences with healing was through painting, and it was through charcoal and pastel drawings. And I did drawings of children. Mm-hmm. And I didn't intend to do that. I just started in portraiture and portrait class, started drawing faces. But then I realized, well, those faces are real. They're real beings from parallel dimensions, from other lifetimes. And that's where the healing started to unfold. And it was a psychic friend of mine that she saw one of my drawings that I wasn't able to finish. It was facing the wall. I couldn't even look at it. It was so dark. The features of the child were dark. And I'm like, something's going on. This is like a missing child. I just didn't know what to do with it. And she came, the psychic friend, and read it. She says, okay, well, this has been a lost child, a molested child. And she was telling me the story. And I'm like, what am I supposed to do with this? And it was, I found the courage. I turned the drawing around. I'm like, okay, I'm going to complete it. And I asked the spirit that had come to me, the spirit from beyond the veil, I said, what do you need from me? Mm-hmm. And I had a strong sense to bring in a wolf. God, you want a wolf. We're going to bring a wolf into this drawing. And later I found out from Native spirituality that the wolf symbolizes, represents the spirit that helps children in the afterlife, helps them through the passage of moving back to their spirit. So it was a remarkable inner journey. And before working with people, before putting my hands on people, before laying and flowing that energy healing, first I explored it within myself. Mm-hmm. And going back to your question, I think I went off. Just how does it relate to all these different areas is, I'm a channeler, spiritual counselor, I'm an artist, I'm a writer. And the key element that brings that all together, the bedrock of those, that flow of that creation, is healing. Mm-hmm. So before I'm a channeler, I'm a healer. Before I'm a counselor, I'm a healer. Before I'm an artist, I'm a healer.
It's just wonderful what you do, and so important. I believe people need people like yourself to know how to channel your energy or energy medicine, and how to become, like I said at the beginning, to become, if you will, a better musician, if you will, or a better writer. And how does that work, Linda? Like the services you provide, like your spiritual work or healing and everything, like you're like a Renaissance woman, if I may say.
I love that. Renaissance woman. I'm going to take that one. I got it. I like it.
Yes, because it's, you have everything that it is so needed. Like, you're so multi-talented. So I'm using Renaissance woman. So
I am. I love it. I'm taking it. You said this is needed, and I couldn't agree more. And where it's needed, and I'll specifically name what's needed. And it's an ally. It's a guiding hand. Because there's so many people that are feeling alone in this wilderness of where the spirit and the human nature meet.
Yes.
It's like we know the human nature, we know the collective humanity, we know the conditionings and the moral expectations, we know the emotional and mind language. But how to weave that into the threads of our soul and our deep spiritual wisdom is, it can be really challenging. And I find that many people on a creative path, many people like artists, musicians like you mentioned, and other healers are sensitive beings. living in a world where that sensitivity isn't revered. It's what you do with it. It's what you achieve with it. It's what you accomplish that's acknowledged. But in its genuine form, in that contemplative creative form, before you give it a shape, it can be quite unseen. And as you're developing it, it's a really vulnerable place to be. In a world that demands achievement, that demands rationality. And I say this to my clients, I love communication. And this is especially true for relationships, any kind of relationships. It's to be able to tell the other person, I won't appeal to your logic right now. I won't appeal to the rational right now because I'm emotional. Mm. Or I'm finding my way. And it's this finding our way that we can get so crowded in and not have the space. We need space. We need space for healing. We need space for creativity. We need space for songwriting. We need to be able to go back in to an inner space that often our outer world doesn't support. Mm-hmm. So I think it's very needed for us to find that support. It's like my first counselor saw me, recognized me. I wasn't looking for a spiritual counselor. I didn't even think looking for that. Thank God I found a spiritual counselor because it was so the right fit for me. I was lucky that way. You know, so I say to people, you know, find that person, that coach, that counselor, that healer, that ally to support you in remembering you're not alone.
I love that you're not alone, and then to reach out to a spiritual healer, counselor, that because, you know, I am reading your book and being so close to nature, the earth, and how do you channel that energy? And this word brings me to the next question. I already said it, but I love the word energy medicine and your book. Like, what does it mean? If you can talk about that more, if I may, and tell us about your book, the services, because is it a self-help book or is it more than that, Linda?
I think it's more than a self-help book. I think it's energy medicine in and of itself. There's, you know, my proofreader, when he did the proofreading, it took him twice as long as he anticipated it because he kept going into a trance. He just kept, and what happens is the soma, the intelligence of the body, absorbs the energy medicine, and the energy medicine comes from the channeled guidance. So the book is a compilation of channeled messages and my experience of it, my journey of healing and learning from the messages that the spirits provided me for each chapter. Now, to bring some context here, the spirits that I channel, they've given me the name. Their name is Massian Diaz. And there are a group, they're a group soul, many people that channel a group vibration in that way. And because, I mean, even our soul and our oversoul is so much more vast than our human experience. Our human experience is like a ray of the sun. It's a ray of our soul, and the soul is so much more vast, like the full sun. And so they're helping us access some of that greater vibration, that light frequency of our being through their messages. Mm-hmm. So we have, there's teachings, it's an educational messages about all kinds of different spiritual ideas that have been around, like faith and forgiveness, and teachings around probabilities, multiverse, multidimensional reality, and soul purpose. What's different from this book, as many books on a lot of these subjects, is that it's a translation into the lived experience, a somatic experience, and a knowing experience of the teachings. And it's dispelling some myths that we have. Like forgiveness, we tend to think forgiveness is turning our cheek and getting hit again. It's like we think it's tolerance. And what Masiandia teaches us is that forgiveness is not tolerance. Mm-hmm. Forgiveness is not about forgetting the past. Forgiveness can actually look like being quite discerning with some people. It's being discerning and staying in love. Mm-hmm. So that we may choose to love somebody from a distance. Forgiveness is not just, putting up with abuse. And I see a lot of people in this practice that have confusions around their spiritual path. And one of the confusions, and I address this in the book, is this goal towards awakening, this goal towards enlightenment. We're such linear, goal-oriented human beings. The mind thinks that way. But our multidimensional self is not caught up in this linear stuff. You know? But here we are, like, I can't tell you how many people come to me and they're going toward for the summit. They're just working so hard to get better and to get rid of whatever they don't like about themselves or whatever discomfort that they have. And they get a surprise working with me because instead of racing up the hill to that goal, I turn around and I face that shadow. Who is this that is working so hard to aspire, that's working so hard to get better? Because there's some self-protection going on in that. Mm-hmm. I want to be better than whatever version I have of myself so that I don't have to feel alone, or I don't have to feel. So there's kind of an avoidance strategy going on. So the book reveals that. It reveals what we're trying to avoid. It sheds light on it, normalizes it. It doesn't only normalize it, it reveres the shadow. It's like, wow, there's fear here. I wonder what fear is communicating. Like, wow, there's anger here. I wonder what wisdom it holds. So I explore that in the book. Channeling is so normal. It's so incredibly common. We don't realize it. Even I say this to people, accountants, people with numbers have access to that. Intuition with seeing the patterns. Managers that work with people that can bring out the best, the highest potential in employees, in their team, in their clients, are accessing that it's a subtle energy that we become aware of. Otherwise, we're taking shortcuts. Otherwise, the song becomes a formula. Otherwise, the book becomes this logical idea that we're putting into print. But I'm looking for the essence. It's like that logical idea comes from where? What is it trying to serve? What is it trying to communicate? Mm-hmm. And you see that with actors. And it's almost like, well, they're not even acting anymore. They're embodying the character. They have fallen in love with their character. They're making love with their character. You know, and in all these scenes, it's like, you get an actor that there's hardly a movement. There's no words. It's just something in their eyes, and they're embodying it completely. That's channeling.
Yes. That's wonderful. And Linda, what do you enjoy most? Or do you enjoy a little bit of, I mean, everything that you do as a Renaissance woman, like, is there something you enjoy more?
Oh, goodness. I'm going to have to say that it's challenging. It's challenging. Because sometimes I just need to paint. I need it because it really nourishes my soul. I paint for me first. And I paint predominantly abstract work because I get to process energy. I also paint abstract impressionism. I work with my husband's photographs, and I bring in the abstract. And that's where I'm merging contrasts. But the fact is, I do that in everything. I'm constantly looking for the harmonizing, the center point between split states, between contrasts. Because that's where healing is that place of centering. So yeah, like I was saying, healing is the first thing. Healing is the first thing. And so I've got to really trust my intuition that way and carve out time. Like there's times that I do sessions, there's times that are saved for going in the studio.
Tell us about the services you provide, Linda.
You mentioned earlier that this is needed. And you also mentioned energy medicine, and that brings me to something that's really quite trendy right now, and it's plant medicine. And it's journeys, trance journeys with the help of these medicines. And people are experiencing such depths of healing. And they're also experiencing overwhelm. Some, not everyone, but a lot, highly sensitive empaths, sensitive persons who experience those kind of journeys, those are people that come to me often because instead of a breakthrough, they've had a breakdown. Mm. And the breakdown is just because they opened up to divine energy. They've opened up to that beautiful signature divine design that is who they are. They've had an exquisite sense of expansion and awakening, and then smack back to reality, back to the day-to-day. And that transition can be really hard for people, really hard. And I've seen that in the past. I had a client, it wasn't plant medicine, it was this whole idea of quick, get fast, intense week, transformation. There's a lot of those kinds of services being promoted. So she went for it. She really wanted to heal. She wanted to get to that summit and get there fast. And you see so much of that. This idea of like, don't want to be ill. Don't want to be uncomfortable. Don't want to feel the intensity. I want to get past and through it. But after a week, again, instead of the breakthrough, she had a breakdown. She called me up and she said she opened up to some stuff that didn't make sense to her. And when she tried to resolve that with the group that she was working with, they're trying to convince her of something, trying to convince her of what came up for her. It's like, but what came up for her was not necessarily fact. The images that she saw were metaphorical. They were symbols, which through sessions, several sessions, we unraveled.
People that want to reach out to you, Linda, where can they go? Where can they get this lovely book? And also, Mission Accepted 262 as well. Like we're both in it, as we were saying before we went on air. But yeah.
Mm-hmm. They can go to lindanardelli.com. There's a book tab to find out about the book. The 262 is in my media page. And I've got a gift. I've got a fun gift on my homepage. And it's a quiz, a soul essence quiz. It's a quiz to discover your soul essence. Are you a highly sensitive person, a highly sensitive empath, a storyteller, an adventurer? Are you a catalyst? Yeah. So these are the types of soul essence, and that was given to me by spirit. And so you go through a quiz and you uncover your soul type, and then it comes with a PDF and a channel journey, a beautiful journey to nourish. It's medicine for your soul. And I've thought of you a lot in preparing for it today, I thought of your run with it. Your profound commitment to this conduit, the body, to keeping it fit, to keeping it strong and alive. And to me, that honors spirit, what we eat, how we connect to the movement that best serves us. And we're all different. We all have different walks of life and different ways that we keep our bodies healthy.
Yes.
And I think that's so important. Like I work with the personal psychology, but that the key is like when I work with that, I help people back to their soma, back to their feeling state. And I'm curious with them, like, what'll help open that up? What movement in your life, what physical movement will help support that? And I think that's your work speaks to that.
Thank you, Linda. And I love the word curious. I love it. When you're curious, it's you find out and you discover rather people and you find out more about yourself. And that's why I'm so grateful for you to be on the program. I've learned so much, and the viewers and the listeners are going to just really enjoy your time with us today. And I'm just so grateful, as I said, Linda, this has been we've planned this for a while, and here we are. So thank you. And I love you to come back when
it's I'd love
time.
To.
It's all about timing. So I love you to come back.
Thank you. And thank you for inviting me today. I just love spending time with you.
Me too, Linda. I'm enjoying it. So, once again, and we'll be back.